Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can ever be of any service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or call us at 804-909-7339. Today, we'll continue discussing the Holy Spirit and how to make Him real in your life. And if you'd like to be part of this conversation this morning, then call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my pleasure, as always, to bring my co-host, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri, from God's Kingdom and Ham Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia, with us this morning. Pastor, you there?
I'm there, brother. I'm here, brother.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us today. How have you been doing?
I've been doing good, brother. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, amen. I'm just so blessed I can't be stressed.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you pray for us this morning and get us cranked up whichever way you want to go.
Amen. Father, I want to thank you for this morning, Lord God. Yet, once again, we are coming to break the word of life, Lord God. The entrance of your word brings light, Lord. Bring light unto us, Lord God. Father, we pray for our listeners, Lord God, that will be able to get this word, Lord God, because it's this word that is able to save every single soul. Father, we thank you for this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Let me just share one quick thing before you get cranked up here. On BibleGateway.com, which is an awesome resource that I recommend everybody to load up on their computer. And you can also, there's an app that they have for your telephone, which is pretty cool. But anyway, their verse of the day today is just very, very awesome, and I wanted to share that with you. Psalms 59, verse 16 in the New King James Version, it says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Well, I got news for you, brother. There's a lot of trouble brewing out here, and we definitely need to have our refuge in the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So where do you want to go this morning?
I wanted us to look at the Holy Spirit and prayer, or prayer and the Holy Spirit, if we can. By looking at Romans, if you can open up Romans chapter 8 and verse 26.
Romans 8. Well, my wife is taking a class at Life Christian University.
Uh-huh.
This time on Romans, and I tell you one thing, this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. So,
amen. Yes, let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. as we look at the Holy Spirit and prayer.
You said 26, right?
26, yes, 26.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, likewise, the Spirit also, mark that word also, helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, I like himself, which I from Amplified, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know if you have Amplified version of the Bible with you.
Oh, yeah. 40 or 50 of them here. See what the Amplified says here this morning, verse 26. Yeah, there's some stuff there. That's a good stuff. See, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know how, we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterances.
And back to the Spirit?
Verse 27, and he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Now, there's a lot there. Let's go back and break that down a little bit.
Exactly, yes. Let's go slow.
All right, it says, I'm going back to the New King James Version here. It says, likewise, the Spirit. Now, we say likewise, what is the likewise there for? That means there's something before that, right?
There is something before that. Maybe we need to come from verse, let's come from 23. Maybe we'll join the likewise.
All right, not only that, you know, there's that means there's something before. Let's go to 18.
I tell you, all is good.
Can we do that, verse 18?
Yeah, let's do that.
It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Oh, yeah. This is good stuff here. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. In verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
Correct.
For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope.
Not hope.
For why does one still hope for what he sees? Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hallelujah.
Right.
Then he goes to 26 where he says, likewise. So that gives us kind of a context of why the likewise is there. So this is like an also. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So that means we ought to already know what to pray for.
Right.
But apparently we don't.
I like how the Amplified puts it there. We don't know what to pray. And if we know what to pray, we don't know how are we going to pray.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, Linda's telling me that the NIV is different too. Let's see what that says.
Let's look at NIV.
NIV, New International Version. Here we go. All right, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts, so that means that that's got to be God, right? He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Wow.
I like, because we're going to join 26 and 34. Can we read 34, much especially the last part of verse 34?
34, let's see where that's at. Okay. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Hallelujah.
Now, you look
in 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful statement right there.
That's a powerful statement, brother. Now, when we looked at verse 26, remember where it says the Spirit also. Now, you find again in 34, the last part of verse 34 says also. Now, he says, he talks about Jesus, who is on the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercession for us. Now, so I wanted to combine verse 26 and 34, which automatically takes us back. Remember where we looked at John 14, where he says, I will send you another. Because we're looking at the disciples where they were complaining, now, Jesus, you're going to leave us. He said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Right? I believe that is chapter 14 and verse 16. If I can read it, it says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. I want to consider the word another. Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Right?
Yep.
Now, when we come to 26, we were looking at, of course, what the tribulation, the trials that were going on, where he was telling us that the whole creation is in mourning, is in groaning, hoping for the salvation. Right?
Right.
And then we come to verse 6, it says, likewise also, not only are we in this, are we looking at the world is in pain, but we have to know it's the Holy Spirit that is going to reveal what is the will of the Father. What should we pray for? Like our amplified version of the Bible puts it, what should we pray for? We don't know what to pray. If we don't know, if we know what to pray, we don't know how are we going to pray, right?
Okay.
Now, what I was considering is that Jesus, we know that he's seated on the right hand of God. He's also making intercession. There's another scripture, if you can read it, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Of course, we're not reading this. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse, I believe it's 25.
All right, read it first.
He says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus, we know, is making intercession for us, right, on the right hand of the Father, right?
Right.
And so how are we going to make the rightful intercession for whatever groaning and the pains that are going on if we don't learn to hear? What is the Spirit saying to us?
Okay. I'll bite what?
Yeah. Because when we looked at the last of, part of 27, he says, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right? So, if we exclude the Holy Spirit, if we don't listen to what he's telling us, how he's leading us into prayer, we are going to miss on the will of God.
Wow.
Can you add on that?
So does that mean that when Jesus, because we know in the Garden of Gethsemane that he prayed three prayers. One of them was for himself, the other was for the disciples, and then the other third part of that was for you and me. Is that where he began to make intercession for us?
I believe that's where the intercession began, yes.
Okay, and so then when he returned to heaven, he's continuing to make intercession, but also the Holy Spirit's making intercession for us.
Exactly.
Wow.
Not forgetting in 16, I think it's 16, 13, he says, whatsoever, let me see if I can get it, John chapter 16 and verse 13, I know we've been looking at that verse a number of times, let me read it, 16 and 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Remember, we looked at that verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we are looking at Jesus. He's still interceding for us. And the part that I like here is that the Holy Spirit is right down here with us, right? So that means what he gets to hear from the throne, he reveals it to you.
Well, then you go back to John 15, where he says, everything my Father has told me, I have made known unto you.
Uh-huh.
So that's how he does it, is through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So if we're not capable, or we don't understand how to listen to that still small voice and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, then we're going to miss out on a lot of communications between God and us.
Exactly.
Wow.
And our total dependence has to be on what is the Holy Spirit speaking, whispering to us. Because you find that people go through different trials, agonizing. My wife was telling me of a dream this morning. She said that she never thought of this gentleman. He's a mechanic. But then the Holy Spirit just brought different things. And I told her, that's when he listens and he knows. Because he is in tune. Of course, we know that Jesus' whole goal of our intercession is to bring salvation, right?
Right.
And so we are the agents, you and me, every child of God, we are the agents to whom the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us and says, you know what, you need to carry out intercession for that person. Like you're saying, that still small voice, sometimes you can even ignore it. But once we learn to hearken, to listen, that's why we enter into the will of God and we pray in accordance to the will of the Father.
Well, then that also helps us pray the effectual fervent prayer.
I thought about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right?
Right, because if you're not praying what he wants you to pray, then there's no way that you're going to be effectual. You're not going to have the results, because when you look up those words, the prayer that availeth much, you know, is an indication of great reward, of great activity, of great action because of your prayers.
Right.
So if your prayers are not producing great stuff, then you might want to look at the effectualness, and if the effectualness is not there, you might want to look at how are you listening to the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. Remember, we also looked at this scripture. Remember, Romans 14:17, righteousness, peace, joy. Where is it found?
In
the Holy Ghost. And that's the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and with that righteousness, peace, and joy, that's how we are able to enjoy rest, resting in the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And that word doesn't necessarily mean, that's not sleep and slumber either. That's just being, having the confidence to be able to make that statement at the end of that scripture that says, I am fully persuaded.
Right, that he's able.
You can't make that if you're not resting in the Lord.
No.
And isn't that where we want people to be? Don't we want them to be comfortable in their own skins, if you will, with the Holy Spirit?
Oh yes. I think that's the position whereby every child of God is supposed to be rested in. And like you read in 15, whatsoever that Jesus made known to the disciples, then the Holy Spirit wants to make it known to us, because that's when we are going to enter into that rest, knowing that the work is fully done. So we enter into it and we declare what the Holy Spirit wants us to declare on earth.
Don't you find it interesting, though, that all of this comes in a process sequentially? That it just, and we don't just get a brain dump and all of a sudden we've got it. It has to be mixed in with a little practical experience and personal, you know, hurdles and ups and downs and what have you that we have to go through in order to be able to actually live this according to the Word.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Yeah.
Because I believe that's what he was telling the disciples, or not the disciples, but the scribes and the Pharisees, when he said, you know, you folks know the Word, and unless people's righteousness is greater than yours, they're going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Exactly.
But however, you know, if you don't sleep with another woman, yet you look at her with lust in your eyes, you might as well be up in the rack with her. You know. And so I think what he wanted was trying to tell us there was that, you know, he wants this thing to be practical. He wants it to be real. But if you don't understand how all of this happens, and that's what we're here to do, you know, is to help make the Word of God real and help people understand, you know, how to actually live this Word according to the Word. And that's what you have to do. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And this is what is so interesting about this. If you think about it, the Holy Spirit is always in constant communications with the throne room of God.
That's very true. Yes.
You know, Jesus said when he walked on the face of this earth, he said, look, I do nothing more than what I see my Father do.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he would go away for periods of time and pray, because he had to get recharged. He had to find out what the next thing on the assignment list was, and that's how he did it.
Yeah.
And so we are capable of doing the same thing, because if we can't, then all of this is foolishness.
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
But we have to allow ourselves and submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit to spend time in his presence in order to find out what it is that's going on in heaven. Because heaven is not a place that we're going to go to and just sit on the dock of the bay and watch time roll away.
No.
Heaven is a happening place. There's a lot of stuff going on up there that we don't have any idea of, but we're supposed to know because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, who's related directly, who is God and who is Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
Fired me up this morning, brother. I'm ready to start preaching. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But he says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. So these things that we're going through, he calls it, you know, don't even talk about it. You know, don't even consider it.
Nope.
Get to the point where you're like Paul is telling the Romans here, you know, look, neither life nor death, angels or demons, the present nor the future. It doesn't matter what's going on today or what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
Nor any powers, neither height nor depth.
Height nor depth.
Anything in all of creation.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to get that.
Yeah.
You know, the body of Christ is walking around wounded. The body of Christ is walking around hurt. They're walking around not knowing how to have relationships because, number one, they can't communicate with each other because they're
never
communicating with the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy, yeah, that's very true.
See,
and
communications is not just a one-way street. We just don't sit there, you know, under the spout where the glory comes out. There has to be a dialogue.
There has to be, yeah.
See, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying, look, there has to be a conversation between us and the Holy Spirit. Now, there will be times when we don't know what we're supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
and
got
how we're
that
supposed
covered
to say.
Well.
That's right. And that's why he has the wonderful friend, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor.
Yeah, so I mean, when things are not going right and you're not sure what to do,
right.
You know, you have to be convinced that none of that is going to keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish, but then you have to rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit and tell him what's going on.
Uh-huh. That's very true.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
That's very true. And I think that's why in 28, after knowing that he's giving us now, you have this helper, you have this strength, and I like how the Amplified Bible puts it, the standby, the intercessor, you know, the strengthener. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purposes.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit is there. He is interceding. The moment you get to hear what he's saying, then your faith is going to rise up because he says, the word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And then you're gonna see your faith grow, not in a quantitative sense, because faith is not quantitative. It's an entity that when you get it, you got it. But you're going to be able to develop your faith and expand your faith and start to be able to believe for more things, because it talks about, you know, how can you have hope in something that you already see? You know, hope is in, that's what now faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's why he gives us a carrot, if you will, and we go chase that carrot. And we get that, and then he gives us another one. He says, well, let's go a little bit deeper, and a little bit deeper, and a little bit deeper.
Right.
And that's
what
we want to do here. We want to continue to go deep and to strive for the things of God so that we'll be workmen that are unashamed of rightly dividing this word of truth.
Amen. Yes. That's very true.
And this is good, 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 good stuff. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, he also says something here in verse 24. He says, for in this hope we were saved.
But anything but the hope that is seen is not hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For what a man sees, that is not hope. But what he doesn't see, that is hope.
Well, as always, we never have enough time to get all of this stuff done, but we will continue next week. So I want to thank you for joining us today, and I really appreciate your participation. This show will be available a little bit later at www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and we will also have it on our website at www.dmcministries.net. Join in with our conversation on our blog at dmcministries.wordpress.com. And we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Until then, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.